Staying in Contact. I'm London Mitchell. I recently read in a political column the suggestion that before anyone runs for public office, be it on the local level, state, or national, that person should take the same test about our government that anyone wishing to become a naturalized citizen must take. That got me thinking. Could I pass the test? Could you? The test consists of 128 civics questions. So, with the help of my AI-generated assistant, whom we shall call Sarah, I thought in this installment we would take the test. We won't go through all 128 questions. Sarah has condensed the test, but it will still be a good chance for us to see just how much about our government we know. Full disclosure here, my undergrad work was often focused on political science, so I hope I don't embarrass myself. The first part of the test is about the principles of our American government. Let's start taking the test. Sarah?
What is the form of government of the United States? And what is the supreme law of the land?
I think I've got this one. We often call ourselves a democracy, but we're really a republic. We, the people, vote for representatives, our Congress, for example, and they actually run the government, so that kind of makes us a republic. And the supreme law of the land, of course, is the Constitution.
The Constitution starts with the words, "We, the people." What does that phrase mean?
I think we are referring here to the fact that the people, we the people, govern ourselves. That is how the preamble to the Constitution starts, and I remember memorizing the preamble in high school, and I have never forgotten it. And I think it's one of the great pieces in our American heritage, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Name two important ideas from the Declaration of Independence.
I think number one, we have to look at the issue of equality. All men are created equal. And they have these unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you just joined us, we are staying in contact this week, looking at the test, the civics test, that those wishing to gain citizenship in the United States must take. And the question is, can I or you pass the test? So that's what we're doing with the help of my AI-generated assistant, Sarah. We are taking that test.
What is the economic system of the United States?
Okay, I was never really good at economics, but we can define our economic system as capitalism. We look to a free marketplace.
There are three branches of government in the United States. Why?
That's really called separation of government, right? Congress writes the laws, but the president can veto them. And the president appoints the Supreme Court justices, but the justices can say a law written by Congress is unconstitutional. Congress can override a veto, and Congress has the right to endorse or reject appointments to the court by the president. I think that covers it.
The president is in charge of which branch of government?
That would be the executive branch. The president is empowered to carry out or enforce the law of the land.
How long is the term for a member of the House of Representatives?
That would be 2 years, and that may be why they seem to always be in a campaign mode.
How long is the term for a U.S. senator?
6 years.
The President of the United States can serve only 2 terms. Why?
Without a doubt, this was put into the Constitution as an amendment to make sure the president doesn't get too powerful. And this happened after Franklin Roosevelt was elected to his 4th term. Now, I believe it's the 22nd Amendment.
Correct.
Okay, Sarah, next question.
Who is the commander-in-chief of the military?
Okay, that would be the president, who is a civilian, and the idea being that a civilian being in charge of the military would prevent the military from being too powerful. That said, there is an argument as to whether a president who has not served in the military really does understand the military culture and how the military operates. That's been a debate for generations.
Why is the Electoral College important?
That's because it is really the Electoral College that elects the president. We don't have a nationwide popular vote. Actually, we have separate votes in each one of the states. Then the winner in that state sends electors or delegates to the Electoral College, and that is the body that actually elects the president.
Name a power that is only for the federal government.
There are several that come to mind. Of course, it's the Congress that writes laws, Congress that declares war. Only Congress can print cash.
Now we go to the history section of the test. Name one reason colonists first came to America.
I would have to say it's all about freedom. Freedom from unfair prosecution. Freedom to better yourself in an economic way. Freedom of religion. I'm London Mitchell. We are staying in contact, and I'm glad you joined us. We are taking the civics test that is given to anyone who wants to become a naturalized citizen. And I'm doing it with the help of my AI-generated assistant, Sarah. We are right now in that part of the test that deals with history.
Name at least one reason why Americans declared independence from Britain.
I think we all know the answer to that one. It was about the lack or the orders from the king that said we could not be a self-governing body. And taxes. The taxes were too high.
Who is credited with writing the Declaration of Independence?
And that, of course, would be Thomas Jefferson. Well, that's why we celebrate Independence Day. The Declaration was signed July 4th, 1776.
What founding document was written in 1787?
That would be the Constitution. And someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was the Federalist Papers, written by the likes of Alexander Hamilton and James Madison, that actually were used as selling points or documents that were really aimed at getting all the states to ratify the Constitution.
George Washington is famous for many things. Name one.
I guess we could not be talking about the history of the United States without talking about George Washington, who led the Continental Army in the Revolutionary War and became our first president.
Alexander Hamilton is famous for many things. Name one.
I think I already named one. He helped write the Federalist Papers, but Alexander Hamilton was also our first Secretary of the Treasury.
What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803?
That would be the Louisiana Territory. I don't think I'm doing too badly in this test. What's next, Sarah?
Abraham Lincoln is famous for many things. Name one.
Oh, golly, where do you begin with the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln? He was the president during the Civil War, the war between states that resulted in freedom for the slaves.
When did all men get the right to vote?
Oh, boy, I know this happened after the Civil War, but I can't remember the number of the amendment. Sarah, you are going to have to help me out here.
The right to vote for all men happened after the Civil War during the period called Reconstruction.
The voice you hear, in addition to mine, that I call Sarah, is actually an AI-generated voice that is helping me with today's episode.
Name a leader of the women's rights movement of the 1800s.
Several names come to mind. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, and of course Susan B. Anthony.
When did all women get the right to vote?
I know this happened in the earlier part of the 1900s, but again, Sarah, I'm going to need your help as to the date and the number of the amendment.
Women received the right to vote in 1920 with the 19th Amendment.
I'm London Mitchell. With the help of my AI-generated assistant, Sarah, we are taking the civics test that is given to those who wish to be naturalized citizens.
Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II?
That would be FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he was the only president elected to four terms in office. As we mentioned earlier, he did die in office during that fourth term.
Name at least one reason the United States entered World War II.
I think we wanted to support our allies, notably the United Kingdom and France in the war against Nazi Germany. Germany was allied with Japan, and when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, we were in.
During the Cold War, what was one concern of the United States?
That would be the threat of nuclear war. I'm old enough to remember the drills in school when we would hide under our desk in case there'd be radioactive fallout, and some neighbors were building shelters, bomb shelters, in their backyards.
Martin Luther King is famous for many things. Name one.
A major fighter for civil rights.
What major event happened on September 11, 2001 in the United States?
We often refer to this as 9/11, the terrorist attacks at the World Trade Center.
Why does the flag have 13 stripes?
I asked this question of some young students when I was doing some public speaking not very long ago, and I was surprised at how many did not know that the 13 stripes on our flag represented the 13 original colonies.
The nation's first motto was E Pluribus Unum. What does it mean?
Out of many, there is one. And I have always taken that to mean that we are stronger together. I'm London Mitchell. And that is our little abbreviated test, thanks to my AI-generated assistant, Sarah, of the civics test that is given to those who wish to become naturalized citizens. How well did you do? I don't think I did too badly. I invite your comments at my website, londonmitchell.news, and I hope you'll join us again next week as we continue staying in contact.